The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. We'll read verses 13 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It is in the previous chapter of Matthew's Gospel that we find the narrative of Jesus calling his first disciples. We are told there that as Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing their nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Or as other versions translate that verse, "I will make you fishers of men." In this morning's scripture reading, Jesus had seen the crowds who were gathered, and having gone up into the mountain, he sat down and taught them. We know these words as the Sermon on the Mount. These words are familiar to us. We have heard them many times over. They're simple yet profound. There's always new light which seems to break forth as we look again at what Jesus said to the crowds gathered on that mountain. But maybe there is light and understanding that comes from what Jesus didn't say in today's scripture reading. I want us to notice the difference between what Jesus says to the crowds and what he said to the disciples when he first called them. On the mountain, Jesus spoke to the crowd saying, "You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world." There's no promise that they will be salt or light. Jesus doesn't seem to think they will need any lessons or guidance on how to become salt or light as the disciples would need in order to become fishers of men. He simply tells the people in the crowds, "You are the salt. You are the light." It's "you are," not "you should be," or "you may become," or even "you must be." You are, period. Or maybe instead of "you are," period, we should say "you are," exclamation point. Jesus is making an open and bold proclamation here. There is no room for doubt or uncertainty. There is no need to question potential. No need to review or assess qualifications. Jesus knew human inclination would be to look at oneself and feel somehow outmatched by the demands of what would be involved to rise to a particular challenge set before us. Well, even after being trained or showed how to do something, we still may wonder, can we actually do it? Sometimes we need the affirmation of someone else, someone who knows us, someone who believes in us, someone who sees something in us that we may not be able to see even in ourselves. Jesus, looking at the seekers gathered around him, said clearly and decisively, You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In essence, Jesus seems to be installing them in their positions as salt of the earth and light of the world. Maybe certain tasks, certain calls, like being fishers of men, would take some instruction. But what Jesus is telling the crowd is they already have all it takes to be the salt and the light. They have within themselves the very essence of salt and light. And so do we. It's who they are, and it's also who we are. Reminiscent of the voice of God in creation's narrative, Jesus says, "You are light," and it was so. Perhaps Jesus sees something in us we cannot see in ourselves. Maybe Jesus sees a divine spark, the light seed of God that is planted in good heart soil. Maybe Jesus sees in us the stardust of all creation, just waiting to be ignited and offer warmth and light to the world. All you have to do is go and be true to who you are. You are salt. You are light. Go do you. That really is who we are. Why is it so hard? Why do we struggle to be the salt and the light? Why is it so hard to be who Jesus thinks we are? Brian Moss reminds us of what we already know. It's clear that it's a lot more complicated for us to actually be salt and light than it is for us to become salt and light through the words proclaimed by Jesus. Being salt and light involves giving ourselves away completely. And there's the fine print of the whole salt and light thing. True salt, salt that has not lost its taste, disappears into food and makes food tastier. Jesus' disciples transformed the world by disappearing in humble service. Likewise, light that is not bound by obstructions dissipates over the miles like ripples of self-giving service. Ultimately, to be salt and light, to be used by God as God intends, is to dissolve and to dissipate, and in the process, flavor and enlighten. There is no partial disillusion, no limited dissipation. The hard part for us seems to be that disillusion and dissipation. We tend to think that by doing so, we would surely be a detriment that would lead to our demise. But it is in line with kingdom principles to see giving of ourselves through service to others as being not only the fulfillment of who we are, but also being our fullest joy. Holding on, refusing to serve others, proves to be the actual way of death, a way that cannot sustain life. And we know what happens when you hide a candle beneath the security of a basket. It not only fails to offer its light, but such confines will actually extinguish that light. But what about salt that resists disillusion or dissipation? Jesus' hearers would have known what an accumulation of salt would do. They were familiar with the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea's name comes from its extreme saltiness. The water of the Dead Sea contains about 340 grams of salt in every liter of water, making it at least 10 times saltier than ordinary seawater. In turn, making it inhospitable for most life. In efforts to prevent dissipation through service to others, in order to preserve the essence of who we are, salt, the result becomes inhospitable for most life. Now, Jesus had just taught the crowds about being blessed, being happy. We call that part of the Sermon on the Mount the Beatitudes. But I kind of wonder if this is more of the same kind of instruction, more on the same topic, more wisdom from the Master on how to be happy and live lives that are blessed and lives that are a blessing to others. Jesus may be saying, "Blessed are you when you know who you are and do what you are intended to do." The happy way, the way to a happy life, a blessed life, is through the giving of yourself for the good of others. potential of all happiness and all blessing is within you. You will find it there through the self-giving disillusionment of who you are and what you are. We are about to install those who have been elected by the congregation to serve in places of leadership. It is our opportunity to affirm them and our proclamation that we see them for who they have been called to be. But Jesus is saying to all of us who endeavor to follow Him that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. By the living words of Christ, we are each installed as the salt of the earth, the light of the world, going forth the love of Christ.